Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Own Your Awesome podcast. I'm your host, Miranda Von Fricken. I am pumped for this episode. Okay, I've said it before, but this one, I mean it. Actually, I mean, I'm always pumped for these episodes because if you've noticed, I try to be consistent, but I also won't come to you with just any topic or any energy for that point. So if I'm not feeling it or I've got nothing fabulous to say, I'm just not coming. I'm just not doing it. So just getting off of a fabulous week in Manhattan, I've got a lot of things to say. And so you may get a lot of episodes all at once. Today, I want to talk about owning the room because it is work, but it is so good and there's so many benefits to it. So I know a lot of you here are business owners, speakers, authors, leaders with a voice or a mission. You've got goals. You've got things you want to achieve. And if you're gonna do it, you're gonna need to own the room. You may not literally have to take the stage like I do, but to do what you're looking to do, at some point, you're going to have that need to own the room energy, if you will. Last week, I spoke at a conference. It's their 10th anniversary, It was She Leads Live. Adrienne Garland is legit one of my favorite people. She, last year, put this event on. I spoke on a panel. It was the event that I said brought me back to life, and I wasn't kidding. And right after that event, I was asked to take the main stage in order to talk about LinkedIn and owning our awesome, and I was happy to. So owning the room isn't something I typically think of. And it's not something I go in as my intention, if you will, for any speaking gigs, because my thought is I'm in center stage, whether it's a workshop or I'm teaching LinkedIn or talking about selfie leadership at a women's conference. I typically have all eyes on me because I'm speaking. It's just the nature of the business, if you will. However, this was a whole different level of owning the room at She Leads Live 2024. So much so that the MC asked me to work with her. Every other speaker called me out by name or referenced my talk. And even the event producer, who's from Los Angeles and puts on tons of events, asked me to MC the Los Angeles event. One of her events. So I got to tell you, I mean, I wasn't shocked, but I guess I'm never really surprised that like I bring a certain type of energy that returns some type of investment, if you will. I always get an ROI from my awesomeness. However, it brought to light for me a different kind of own your room energy. It's not just go there and do a great job. It's go there and make them all talk, right? Like they're all talking so much. So even after the event, I was featured in almost 20 posts on LinkedIn, not just me alone, like the event itself, but women were tagging me. I received 13 private Zoom calendar invites, people asking me to connect or to talk to them about their LinkedIn. And I booked and already received payment for 3 clients for my done in a day LinkedIn design work. And so I am just, I'm not baffled. I'm just impressed, I guess. I ain't shy. Y'all know me by now. I'm impressed though with the correlation between the energy I brought to the stage and to the room, their reaction and in reception of me, and what I did during the event for the next 2 days after I got off the stage, and how it has translated to business. So, of course, I sold some books and got people to join book club, which was amazeballs. I'm going to do a separate episode on book club because I think there's something really magical about what's happening with my book club. And I'm actually surprised about that, because it's a book club. It's not really sexy. However, I mean, I'm making it something that is desirable, and the material is needed, right? For everybody, students, entrepreneurs, executives, it doesn't matter. So I'm just making it in a fun way. Read a book. Let's have some fun. So why does this matter? Because if I did not come in with big brand energy, if you will, and own the room, anytime I speak, I may still be a struggling entrepreneur. Or worse, I would have had to have gone back to a corporate job and be sitting in a sad gray cubicle instead of fabulous pink tutus on stage. So owning a room is essentially a non-negotiable for me now. And owning the room at that level really got me thinking, how can I share this with you and the people I work with so you guys can own the room? Not just a literal room, but the virtual room, your offices, a job interview. Like, the room can be any environment you're in. It can be with your family. It can be if you're an athlete. It could be on the court, on the field. How can you own the room? And why is it actually so important? So here's the thing. If you haven't caught on already, of course, owning the room is a whole vibe. I'm going to tell you what I did specifically, because I kind of like analyzed how I rolled that those 2 days during the conference, if you will, and how it translates to other people who aren't speakers. It elevates the energy of the room, first of all. When you come in owning the room, right? I mean, you stand a little taller. You sit on the edge of your chair when someone's talking. Like, it is, you walk more confidently. You're smiling. You glow. There is a glow. And listen, I'm not the only one that owned the room. There were many women who owned the room in those 2 days. And I'm sure they're having great results too. I just haven't quite yet talked to the ones who I think have owned the room yet. They're on my calendar. I can't wait to find out if this is something that we need to get on a Zoom call and do live, right? Because there's magic to owning the room. So it elevates the energy, of course, of the room itself. It draws people to you. I thought that was the coolest part. Now, I teach attraction marketing, if you will, on LinkedIn, how to attract people, how you can get your presence on the platform to attract your ideal clients and not have to go out and get them. So I'm not surprised, because I'm so used to preaching this about LinkedIn. I must have forgot that it can be done in person too. So obviously, it draws people to you. It leads people to a higher ROI after the situation. For me, it was after the speaking event. For you, it could be the networking event. It could be the meeting with your boss for a promotion. It could be a job interview. So owning the room or coming in with that energy is going to lead to a higher return on that energetic investment, if you will. Here's the thing. People can try to remember you or recall something you said, or you can get them to react and respond to you in real time when you own the room. That's a huge difference when you're in a job interview or you're a business owner or you're looking to get promoted. You never want someone to say, so I was in HR for years and I hired people. You never wanted me to be like, wait, which one was him? Which one was he? What was she wearing? What was her last job? What did she do? Because I'm not remembering you. I can't connect you. There wasn't a feeling evoked within me that made me remember you, that made you stick in my brain. However, when somebody owns the room in their language, how they're communicating, how they speak about themselves, how they confidently articulate their expertise, if they're on stage and it's a speaker, obviously, you're competing with a lot of other people, other speakers. You're competing with, I don't know, a DJ, the noise, snacks being handed out, whatever. You have a lot of things to compete with. So You have to go in confidently, expecting to own the room and command this attention. It is so much better if you can do that from the get-go. And that way, you will have this high vibe energy, and everything you say or do or how you feel and look or present yourself, the light you're shining will be felt. And I think that's the difference. It's not just seeing or hearing what you have to say. It's feeling. Oh, I preach this all the time in my personal branding talks, in my LinkedIn talks. It's in my book. How do you make people feel? And I make them feel like I'm the only one in the room when I'm on stage and when I'm even networking. So who does this apply to? I obviously alluded to it can apply to anyone, but managers, when you're trying to get something out of your team, if you've got big brand energy or own the room energy, you're going to command their attention and they're probably going to do what you need them to do. You're at the front desk or your customer service. Even if you're on the phone and they can't see you, you should still be sitting up straight and owning the room, own the cube, own the conversation, right? That way you can get what you need from these people and they will respond. 100% for job seekers, 100% for students looking for internships. Don't worry about looking too egotistical, if you will, because I know there's a fine line. There's a fine line between owning the room and acting like a jackass. Right? We've seen those people who go in with this big bad energy but end up just looking crazy. So you don't have to speak loud. You don't have to over enunciate everything. But this is so important, especially in sales, for entrepreneurs, for marketing peeps. If you write content, if you're a thought leader, if you are fundraising, I mean, come on. Like, this is valuable stuff here, people. Okay, I'm going to calm down. So what does it actually mean to own the room? I mean, obviously, you want all eyes on you. But really what it is it's a commanding attention and action of others. So you are essentially so awesome that you shine just a little bit brighter. You've got all eyes on you. Everyone's ears are peaked and open and listening and hanging on your every word. They're engaging with you. So me as a speaker, I was having people laugh. I had somebody crying. I almost got off the stage to hug this woman. It wasn't a sad cry. It was like a moving cry. She felt so moved by the activity I had done. You want people raising their hand and asking questions. You want them cheering and dancing when you got the music going. Okay, that's just stage stuff. Okay, so let's say you're an author. How are you going to own the room as an author, right? Like, of course, at your book signings or when you're talking about the book online or on your podcast, even as you're writing it, how can you own the room and capture somebody's attention so well that they're not putting it down, that they're late for work because they were reading that book? Storytelling is a huge way we do this, right? And I'm no expert in storytelling by any means. If you need an expert in storytelling, find me on LinkedIn. I will connect you to, I know a couple of them. But storytelling and the words we use, that can get a reader to have your undivided attention. Another person who can own the room that may not typically can command attention would be, I'm going to use the interviewing one again. Like, this is important. Whether you're being interviewed to be promoted, to get a seat on the board, to get an internship, to get your first job, you need to own the room and command a high level of reaction from the person across that table from you because they're making a decision about you. And if you're coming in all blah and lacking confidence, you don't have their attention. They're looking at their watch. They're looking around the room. They're looking at their papers for questions. When I was in a really good interview back in my HR days, I would come with questions, but I wouldn't look at my paper once because we were having such an engaging conversation. It just flowed. It just flowed naturally. So this is a way you can own the quote unquote room no matter where you are. And the biggest way you know you're owning the room is people saying your name when you're not there. I mean, talk about presence. That is like sustained longevity type presence, because when people say your name when you're not in the room, or even a personal example, I was at an event the other day, and not the She Leads one, a whole different one here locally. And the MC was asking questions to a panel, and she said the word LinkedIn, and half of the room turned and looked at me. I was not trying to own that room, but the fact that they all, and even the panelist, one of them has worked with me before, and another one looked at me and like kind of gave me like this point and like a head nod, like, okay, LinkedIn, they're talking about, like, they think I'm LinkedIn. Like, it's hilarious. And so, I mean, that is goals right there. I mean, obviously I've achieved it now. But anytime someone says what you do, do they instantly think of you and refer you, say your name in the room, or instantly think, oh, I got to connect you to so-and-so because you just said you needed this. They do that. Like, are you top of mind? This is owning the room, no matter what room you're in, whether it's literally in a room, whether it's on LinkedIn, or if you're not in the room, still having a presence in a room that you're not in is the ultimate success. I mean, you did it. I mean, amazing. So how do we do all this? I really dove into who is this for and what it is and why it's a benefit, but how do you actually do it? Because, I mean, let's be honest, I have a lot of introverted friends and clients I work with who are kind of shy, or they like the behind the scenes, and that's totally fine, but you can't be the best kept secret. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like, you're never going to get promoted, or you're never, because what'll happen is if you're the best kept secret, even though you're producing results, somebody's going to come in and steal the show, own the room, and you're going to be pissed and be like, they cheated, or it's nepotism, or they know somebody. No, they just captured that person's attention more than you did. Now, I'm not telling you to change who you are. I want this to feel organic for you, because my first way for you to specifically own the room is to be who you are. I do not want to change who you are. I'm not going to tell you to walk into the room with a pink tutu, because that's me. That's not you. And if it is you, let's coordinate. Let's make sure we're not wearing it the same day. But I need you to still get people talking. And that can happen with this own the room energy, if you will. So here's how you do that. Whether you're shy or you're super humble or introverted, step one is just to be you, be completely you, right? So this shift changes everything. I don't think for one second you're all out there being fake. You're my audience. So that means you're real peeps, and that's how you roll. I get it. You're probably not listening to me if you can't handle some realness. Fake people usually just don't have time to listen to podcasts, and they certainly aren't listening to mine. So I'm going to assume you're already doing you. But here's the thing. If by some odd chance you're like a different version of you at work, I want you to seriously reconsider. I want you to start to slowly infuse who you are, because it's hard to remember you if you look and act like everybody around you. It's hard. I mean, some deviation, please. I mean, I get if you're in the corporate space, a professional, quote unquote, is a suit, or, you know, like button up, whatever. But like, find a way to do you, right? Like, even in a boring space. I worked, again, in HR in sad gray cubicles for a few years, longer than I needed to. But I had a palm tree on my desk. Hello. Ain't nothing boring about a palm tree on my desk. I had a box of sand and a happy lamp. Okay, so that sounds sad as hell, right? Clearly, I needed to get outside. However, people, when they heard about a happy lamp, or they went to, like, somebody went on vacation and actually thought about bringing me sand home from where they were to put in the box in my cubicle. Like, people remember this shit. So find a way to be memorable, and then everything is a little bit easier. But you can't be memorable if you're forgetting who you're trying to be that day. So do you, boo. Be 100% you. And I'm gonna come at the speakers now for a second, because at this conference, most of the women were amazeballs and they were completely them. And they embraced all of their quirks and whatnot and personality. But there was one or two, maybe two and a half, that just felt different. It felt forced. One felt kind of awkward, especially the selling from the stage type part. Like, listen, I know that takes practice. I'm not a fan. I'm not good at it. I don't like to do it. But like, you can tell when someone's nervous but has something great to say versus they're fake as hell. This is a script. They're coming in hot. They're pushing. Nobody likes that. Don't be a car salesman on stage. Just don't friggin' do it. It just looks stupid. If you're going to do it right at least and make people feel something other than annoyed. Okay. Let me take a deep breath. I get a little crazy about this stuff. All right. So step number one, how do we own the room? Do you find a way to be absolutely memorable? Two is to prepare. Now, this is a bigger step, right? We're going to obviously, you know who you are, but know yourself for that situation, right? So that's very specific, right? And know your audience too, right? Prepare you, prepare your audience. The audience is obviously more important than us, but knowing who we are. So when I walk into the room and I'm a speaker, I put on my little edumacation hat and or edutainment, where like depending on who the room is, right? Like if I'm at GE, we'll say, when I went to GE, I was nervous to be all pink and tutu-y. I didn't wear the tutu. But I also know they hired me because I'm me online and they saw me. So I prepared myself for a happy medium, if you will. Hot pink shoes, hot pink jacket. My slides were fabulous. I talked about Beyonce, talked about Jesus. I still did me, but I came at them from a perspective and an angle of like, I'm highly educated. I've got tons of experience in the corporate environment. I know exactly where you are and what you're looking to do because I prepared myself, right? By talking to the event planner, the people who are going to be in the room ahead of time. I knew my audience. I knew my material. I knew what type of angle and energy I was coming in with. And I felt super prepared and confident. Another thing you can prepare is essentially like your goals and intentions for that room, if you will. If you're interviewing for a job, of course your intentions are to get the job, but it's partially like, let's break that down, right? Like into little nuggets. You want them to remember you. You want them to feel confident about the work you're going to be doing and that you can do the work they need you to do, right? So there's multiple little intentions throughout your job interviewing experience. Get them to feel what you need them to feel. Let's just take LinkedIn, for example. You're writing a post. What are your intentions for that post? What do you want them to feel when reading the post? Sorry, taking some more water. I should probably drink a gallon of water before I do podcast episodes. I get so thirsty. This is like cardio for me. You should see me walking around. Oh my gosh, I'm crazy. All right. In the LinkedIn post, what do you want them to feel when they read it? Of course, you want them to feel like inspired or maybe, she's really smart, or, oh, I got to take action. Like, what do you want them to feel? So prepare your goals and intentions before you even put the post out or even start to write it. Prepare some hot topics, some clear takeaways, some areas to hit on, especially if you're a speaker, right? Like you have your expertise. So make sure, though, that you're not overwhelming people. I often hear less is more when it comes to teaching from the stage, even in interviews, because if you give them a million examples of why you're the best fit for the job, they're probably not going to remember them. If you give them 2 to 3 solid stories, solid examples that they can regurgitate in a wrap up, this, it's probably going to win. People like 3s, so let's just go with 3. Because if you give them 2, it may feel like not enough. If you give them 4, they're going to be like, Now that I think about it, I actually gave my objectives and a proposal today with 4, and I felt really awkward about it, but I should have just put bonus, 3 and a bonus, but either way, 3 is a really good number, so use that. Your look. Prepare your look, right? Fit check, hey. Like for me, it's tutus, it's pink, it's blue. I wore blue the other day and somebody called me out for it. They're like, oh, I didn't even see you here because you weren't wearing pink. And I'm like, come on, your eyes can only see pink. But they just expect me now to wear pink all the time. They're okay with my blue glasses. I don't think they're okay with me wearing a black top and blue bottoms. Well, it was like teal blue on the bottom, but I was sitting, so they couldn't tell. I had fabulous shoes on, my goodness. But I had a black top, had leather sleeves. I mean, she was good. Puffy leather sleeves, it was so good. It was so good. Anyway, I digress. But the look means something in an interview. If you are trying to get an internship, like they're going to remember your fit. So prepare your fit, please. And who's there? Why are they there? What are their goals? What are their desires? Prepare yourself with this information. If you, if you're like, I'm an author, how do I prepare my readers? What are your readers talking about? What are they saying in other book reviews in your genre? If you are a speaker, of course, like is it a women's event? Is it a conference for inspiration? Is it a marketing thing? You know, like what are the people in the audience expecting? What's the write-up you gave them and fulfill that expectations? Because that's what they're expecting. And then next, prepare for what's next. Right? This is actually huge. And nobody really does this. Even those selling from the stage, they may say, I'm coming with my flyers, or they're going to run to the back of the room, or here's my QR code. But prepare yourself for what they need to do next. And if something were to go wrong, right? So there was one speaker who she was actually my favorite. Her QR code didn't work, but she had a link right underneath it. And I'm like, that was so smart. She's prepared. She didn't know the QR code didn't work. But I raised my hand. I said, hey, I want everyone to go to the link because the QR code isn't working. And I just want to make sure that people didn't like move away from her and her sales offer because it was good. And I want people to have access to it, right? So prepare your slides, prepare yourself, check the details, right? Details matter. Get them on your email list. Make sure you know what's next, they know what's next, and you're both prepared for it. I highly recommend you visualize all of this multiple times. The event, the interview, the promotion, you've got a new teammate that you just hired. Visualize the interaction, visualize all of it. Especially if you're going to a networking event, it could be on a Zoom, it can be in person, it doesn't actually matter. Visualize owning the room in that situation every time, and it'll boost your confidence tenfold. And then because it'd be like once you finally walk in that room or you finally get in that actual situation, you're going to feel like you've already done it and you already visualized a positive outcome. So obviously you're going to expect a positive outcome. Your energy is going to reflect a positive outcome and it's essentially guarantee your success. So be yourself, prepare all the things. Hopefully you're taking notes. If not, feel free to get a notebook and start over. And the third way to own the room, no matter what this room looks like, is to get to work. Work, 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 work. Okay. I'm not trying to be that. But it just worked. And when I was picturing it, it was like the little Instagram guy that was like twerking. Work, 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 work. Oh my God. I hope my kid's not listening to this. She's going to be so embarrassed. She doesn't listen. I'm in a zone, people. All right. Get to work. Work the room. Whether you are networking, whether you are meeting people, getting business cards, work the room by taking pictures. If you can, on a Zoom call, screenshot it. Work the room by sending them private chats in the chat box on Zoom. Work the room in person by, again, business cards, connecting on LinkedIn with your QR code, taking selfies with people, giving them compliments, introducing them to somebody else. Like, hey, Steve, come over here. You got to meet Pete. You know, like make the introductions, work the room. This is going to get them to remember you. They're going to be like, They may not say, oh, I need LinkedIn work. I remember Miranda in the pink. They may say, oh, who's the girl in the pink that introduced me to that person I need to work with? Like, they're going to remember that you were the reason they got connected to the thing they needed. Get people's information, right? Like, so again, if you are an author and you want to work the room, quote unquote, like this would be a harder one. However, I worked the room or owned the room, if you will, by putting QR codes in my book, by sending people to different links, by putting in a workbook so they feel like they're actually doing work with me, by putting videos in my book. It's a QR code. It takes you to a free video. It's a training. How you DM is how you do everything. If you've got the book, you know what I'm talking about. People still say to me, I send so-and-so to your videos because they remember them. So there's many ways to work the room, and that and eventually helps you to own the room and have fun with it. Like, this is the biggest piece, like being you, being prepared and getting to work. Like, it can be fun. It can be so fun, especially too, like even if you're at work and you're not looking to be promoted and you're not interviewing and you're like, Miranda, I do the same thing day in and day out. Like, why do I need to work the room? All right. Like, I hear you, but maybe if you work the room, you get a little bump in your raise next time. Instead of an extra $1.50, you get $1.76. Whatever. That's usually how raises work. But like, maybe there's an opening or somebody's having a conversation behind the scenes and they consider you for it because you said something that made them remember you, or your work, yes, probably speaks for itself, but why not give a little cherry on top, right? A little something extra for them to remember and to say your name when you're not in the room. So be you, prepare like crazy, visualize it, of course, and then just get to work. Work the room. Take people to the next deck. Take them on the journey. Go with them. Walk side by side. Like, walk them over to somebody. There's so many ways to work the room. And it has to do a lot with engagement, especially on LinkedIn. So no matter your goal, no matter your work or business or industry, you're going to need to own the room if you want to stay in the job, if you want to stay at that level, or even better, if you want to climb. So if you don't find a way to be memorable, to own the room, and to get people talking, they'll talk about somebody else. They will remember somebody else. Somebody else will work the room if you don't. Somebody else will get your promotion if you don't give them a reason to remember you and to promote you. Somebody else will get your clients if they don't remember that you're an option for them. I'm not telling you to stalk their life because that's a whole different podcast. Ugh, I'm not a fan of that. However, follow up with people. Find a way to work whatever room you're in and own it so you can be remembered. Because if you don't own the room, somebody else will. Ugh, so good. And if you need help with this, whether you're like, I think I own the room, you want to have a conversation and we can talk about it. Let's just like, you know, like sounding board kind of situation. Let's talk. If you want to be coached on how to own the room, or if you want to like tweak your talk, or you want to review your book kind of proposal, or you want to review your client proposals, whatever you need to be doing to elevate where you are to get to where you want to be, and you think that owning the room is a valid strategy, let's have a conversation. I know you need to own the room on LinkedIn. Everybody needs to. Buy my book. Join my book club. Let's have a strategy session. Let me redo and design your entire profile and presence for you. If you feel uncomfortable doing it yourself, let me do it for you, and then I will coach you how to own that room. All right, friends, find me on LinkedIn, find me on Instagram, DM me. I want to continue this conversation. It's not going away. It's something I feel very passionate about, and I'm taking you along with me. So hope you enjoy it. All right, until next time, keep being awesome. See ya.